Are you ready for the word? Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 16. Did I write that down correctly? We hope that's the right psalm. Yes, it is. All right. I'm on a roll, one for one. Psalm 16, are you there? Verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We've been speaking in here about that God's got a path for your life. And I believe every path is a different path, but every path leads to the glory. So we've been talking about how God's got you at one point in your life right here. Maybe, you know, the devil had you at this point. But God's got a glorious future for you. God's drawing us all in this path to go towards being part of His glorious bride. And the thing is although we're all called to the glory, each of us have a separate, individualized path to get there. Amen. We cannot rubber stamp a message on here's how you get to the glory for each life, other than pray, get in the Word, stay in divine order, go to church, tithe and such. But the day-by-day process of getting to the glory for you will be different than it is for me. The lessons God has to teach you will be different than those for me. And, you know, there are many pastors out there that see how they got to where they're at, and they say, you need to do it how I did it. I believe you need to do it how the Holy Ghost leads you. But it'll go through some of the same checkpoints. You know, when they're running some of these long marathon races, they'll have checkpoints along the way to make sure you're not taking shortcuts, but you're running the proper course. So, like on the Boston Marathon, I understand there are checkpoints. And so they have to check off that you went past that point to verify you weren't cutting across. And there have been runners in the past that decided to take shortcuts and they missed the checkpoints and were disqualified. Do you follow me on that? So God may have a different path for you, but we all go through the same checkpoints. Amen. And those checkpoints deal with God preparing your heart to be a carrier of the glory, of developing yourself to be able to house the glory. In other words, you will not be a Christian that's going into the glory and you've not let God deliver you from some things of the past. I mean, if you're still, you know, running around, sleeping around, drugging around, you're missing a checkpoint. If I believe personally, one of the checkpoints is tithing. Amen. It opens the windows of heaven. Are you passing through that checkpoint? Are you going to church? Do you have a word life? Those are checkpoints that God will develop in you. I personally don't believe there's a single Christian that God is targeting for the glory, that they're following Him in it, that has not been dealt with by God to learn God's Word. Amen. To at least have a life where you get in the Word, you read the Word, and you let the Word speak into your life. I'm not talking about memorizing the whole Bible, or you read 10 hours a day. I'm talking about, but you do have a connection to the Word. Now, I don't want that. I believe when you come into hard times, the Word is going to be one of the first places you go. Usually after you've called the pastor saying, help me. But our foundation, our anchor point for every single Christian is in the Word of God. Amen. Now He says, you have put me, you show me the path of life. This pathway leads to the life of God being birthed and flowing through us, right? How many know that's a glorious life? But also, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Here's another checkpoint. Christians who do not learn how to praise God, to worship God, to move into His presence, miss a checkpoint. I'm talking about in your own time. If you don't learn that when oppression hits you, when doubt and discouragement try to hit you, it's time to get in the Word and time to praise God and to move into His presence, you'll be highly limited at how much of the glory you can move into. These are checkpoint activities of life. So when people say to me, Pastor Jack, you're just too hard. You're too legalistic. You think we got to be in the Word and prayer all the time, and you got to be in church every service, and you got to tithe, and you know, you got to have a pastor. And I don't think you have to do that all the time. You don't have to be in the Word all the time, but you do have to do it. Amen. Because they are parallel checkpoints, I believe, for every believer to go into that glory. Now listen, I may believe something's a checkpoint and you don't. Just make sure you hear God on what your checkpoints are. Amen. But as a pastor, I believe God shows me checkpoints for people's lives. And so, again, I'm not telling every believer what they've got to do in their daily walk, but I do believe there'll be similarities that we'll teach about that we all will go through. Amen. In God's presence is fullness of joy. In the glory is fullness of God's presence. Let me let that sink in for a second. In the glory will be the fullness of God's presence. That glory is His tangible presence all around us, His tangible love. So when you get into the glory, God's presence inundates every part, every fiber, every cell of your being. But in that presence also is fullness of joy. You can know fullness of joy is guaranteed, is full-time accessed in the glory. Amen. But God has to bring you along the path to get there. God's got a path for you. And you don't find the path by yourself. When I was growing up in Huntsville, Alabama, I lived at the foot of Montesano Mountain. We moved into our house. We were the last street in Huntsville on the northeast side. The city stopped right there at the foot of the mountain. And the whole time I lived there, they built like two more streets past us, paralleling us. But at the end of our street, that was the mountain. And there was a stream ran behind our house, a drainage, I shouldn't say, it was a creek coming off the mountain, ran right behind our house. And I lived in that creek, explored that creek. In fact, you heard me talk about pioneering that creek, going up the mountain to try to find its source, which I did. But then going on trying to explore that mountain. And remember where I was going with this. God has a different path for each of us. We'll get back to the stream in a minute. And it's vital you find your path. Now, fullness of joy. I was on fullness of joy. So I haven't let it go yet. Oh, yeah, I remember. Yes! Yes! So I lived at the foot of this mountain, and we would explore all over this mountain. And there was a rock formation, I don't know, I'd say a mile up into the woods, up the hill, that followed a creek bed that only flowed when it rained. And so most of the year, it's just dry. And it came off a set of cliffs, overhanging cliffs. I wish I had pictures of it. Marvelous boulder formations went way up, and you could climb up the thing and go up under these things. And I mean, just, it was amazing. And it was called Buzzard's Roost. Only a few people knew about it because you had to go up the mountain a mile. And it was one of those, oh, there's Buzzard's Roost up there. Well, I heard about it. I went and found it. And so once I found it, it became a major hangout for us to go to. Let's go to Buzzard's Roost. And so not only did I go, I took my parents up there. I took my grandmother up there. I mean, but people say, where is it? And I would have to give directions. And the directions would be, follow this creek bed until it hits this creek, then jump on this path, cut across this, jump back to this creek, go up this, and, you know, you'll find it. So the directions were very specific to find Buzzard's Roost. And you didn't find it hardly by accident. The point I was wanting to make that took me so long to get to was you don't find the path God has for you by accident. It requires the Holy Spirit showing you the path. One of the checkpoints that you absolutely cannot go beyond, you cannot progress into the glory without, is to have a life where you learn to be sensitive to and be led by the Holy Spirit. You've got to know the voice of God in your life. That's why so many Christians are disqualified from going into the glory, because they don't even believe you can hear the voice of God. Again, I was once watching Fox News years ago. They had one of the most well-known Christian commentators, writers in the world, they were interviewing. And they were talking about somebody had heard the voice of God or claimed they heard God speak to them. And the commentator, the Christian commentator, that everybody would know his name if I said it, got up and said, it is preposterous today to believe that any Christian actually hears the voice of God. I'm going, are you kidding me? And of course, people around him are going, yeah, that's right. That's just crazy. Somebody say they heard God. Well, what are we in this for then if we can't hear God? I mean, if he's not real, if he's not really speaking to us, why are we wasting our time with all these efforts to draw close to him? Of course you can hear God. You better hear God if you want to live a victorious life. In this path, it's a pathway of life. It's a pathway. If you get on it, you're going to discover how to be victorious in everything you put your hand to. I mentioned the other night about buying these tools Thursday night, and I bought them by accident. Three lots of tools. I was trying to buy some other stuff, and I bought these tools just to go along with it, and I lost the other bids, and I won the three sets I really didn't want. And they averaged $32 a piece. Had to go to Louisville to pick them up. I'm thinking, man, I just suckered into this one. Three boxes of junk, basically. I hope it's going to be okay. And I got there, and they were gold mines of stuff. There's one box of tools of stuff that I believe I could easily part out and sell for $300 or $400. Not to mention everything that I got in the other lots were above and beyond what I thought. Again, what I'm getting at is I believe, according to the Word, everything I put my hand to prospers. Even when I buy it by mistake. I mean, I was hoping somebody would outbid me. I don't want to go to Louisville for those three things. Once the other bids went too high, I quit. End up with the three that I least wanted, I believe. Norval Hayes said this. He says, I believe I'm so blessed of God that if I was to buy a sick rooster, it'd get healed and I'd make money. There is a path that if you'll just be led of the Spirit, God will have your back. The Word says He'll be your rear reward, your rear guard. Yes. And no matter what you do, God will lead you into blessing and victory if you do it in integrity and you do it attempting to be led by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. The point is, your path is a path of life. And one of the primary, not one of the primary checkpoint. In fact, we'll just call it the starting line. Did you know if you're going to run the Boston Marathon, you have to go past the starting line? You can't start halfway? Well, you know, that first 10 miles is the toughest. I'll just skip all of that. They're not going to let you do that and win the prize. The starting line for the revivalist, glorious bride Christian is you must learn to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. You must know that peace of God within when God says, no, don't do that. Here, go do this. And follow it. So there are checkpoints. You know another checkpoint? You're not allowed to be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall by any means offend them. You've got to become unoffendable. You got to fight through rejection. There's checkpoints to go into the glory. It's amazing. It is amazing. Everyone in here is totally different. There are no two of you that are even similar, knowing your backgrounds. Amen? I mean, the path God's had you on, the way you got to here from where you were, every one of you has a total unique path. But if we were to compare notes, you would find that we all went through common checkpoints. We don't have to have a show of hands. You can if you want to. But when I first got saved, I knew nothing about church. And God started dealing with me on giving. The first things God spoke to me about was giving. Does anybody else have God start speaking to you about giving when you got saved? Right away, He's talking to me about giving. The number one thing He spoke to me about when I got saved was He says, read the Word. It's about me. Did God deal with anybody getting in the Word once you got saved? Has anybody gotten away with not having to read the Word? Then He started drawing my wife and I to go to church. You're here because apparently God told you the same thing. It was a checkpoint. Forgive. Major checkpoint, forgiveness. There's not a person here that hadn't been dealt with that one on repeatedly. Sometimes the same person 4 or 5 times or more. I'm still working on that one. Repent. Pray. Walk in love. Checkpoints. In other words, we each had unique paths, but we all had to go through some common activities, lessons to get where we are. And if we were to put a chalkboard up and start just listing the common checkpoints, you would find out, you'd be amazed how many lessons you had to learn. I mean, if we had like a day seminar and had time to do it, and we started listing, you'd be amazed how many people God dealt with in the same fashion He dealt with you on very similar issues. And you would find that even the results coming out of it were the same. Answers to questions, more wisdom, more anointing, promotional breakthroughs. One that I had to learn, I think I mentioned this the other night, I'm pretty sure I did, is when I'd been saved a while. In fact, I'd been saved 9 years, 8 or 9 years. And I was feeling this draw of God into full-time ministry. I was already ministering nearly full-time anyway with all the stuff I was doing, but I was still working full-time as well. And I was feeling such a draw, I was losing a heart for my job in my secular position. I just really was not excited about it. And God came to me one time and He said, until you put forth 100% full excellence in this job with your heart in it, don't think I'm going to call you into ministry. If you can't stir yourself up in this job, don't think you will survive every demonic assault that's going to try to weigh you down in ministry, basically. You better do your best now. I changed my attitude and God called me out. Well, after that happened, I started comparing notes. And the same thing happened with Pastor Jim and several others of us. God said, don't think you're going into ministry unless you become excellent here. common checkpoint. You know, I thought it was something only God was dealing with me on, but understand, it was something God deals with everybody on that He's calling to a position, that they've got to be a person of excellence. And He really desires they learn that lesson. A lot of people getting ready for ministry or just whatever God has for them will go to college or Bible college, seminary. And the seminary will teach how to prepare a Bible lesson, teach the stories of the Bible, will teach Greek or Hebrew, teach the, you know, the chronology and the history of the Old Testament, and they'll teach all these truths of the Word, or usually truths of the Word, depending on the school. But they can't do what the Holy Spirit does in changing you on the inside to prepare you for what God has for you. And that's where we all have common lessons we learn, but along a different path. Are you with me on this? I want you to understand what I'm trying to get across this morning is God has a path for your life. And if you're following Him, you're on that path, and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go to nowhere. Amen. There may be times it seems like it goes to nowhere, but you just got to keep tromping. In fact, let's look at this. Go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, have you got it? Go to verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, here's the thing. If you're trying to follow a path through the woods or through a field, without some type of light, you're going to get off of it. Is that too deep for you? It's going to be very difficult to stay on a path without light shining on the path. Now, in Kansas, it's a little different. In Kansas, they have these old cow paths, and because they don't have the trees and everything like they have around here, when it rains, the rain will follow those paths, and they become deep. Very often, in Kansas, you'll be following a path, and it'll be knee-deep. Then it's hard to fall off of that path, because the rain follows where there's no growth and washes it out. And then they later become gullies. And the cows have to find a new path, make a new path. But here we see, if you want to stay on the path, you must have a light. And the light comes from the Word. As we said, a checkpoint, you cannot stay on the path God has for you without a life connected to God's Word. Otherwise, you will be deceived. And you've got to be willing to set and let that Word penetrate. Amen? And when God deals with you on something, you've got to be willing to change it. And you've got to let the Word and God's dealings within you rise above your pride, above your ego, above your profitability. If the Word says it, you do it. Amen. But here the word path in the Hebrew is the word nathib. I know that's nowhere close to pronouncing it right, but it's spelled N-A-T-H-I-Y-B. Now you give it your best shot. N-A-T-H-I-Y-B. And it's different from some of the other occurrences of the word path. Many times you see the word path in the Old Testament, and it refers to just a road or a trail, a winding path. In this case, the word path here means a path that has been trampled down. It has that as one of its meanings. A path that you are trampling down. Now again, exploring that mountain, even the buzzard's roost, we had to blaze some trails. We had to make some paths. If you've ever spent much time on the farm in the woods, there was times that you wanted to go somewhere and you knew it was across there. What'd you do? You made a path. Where nobody had been before, a few people, you made your own path. And so God is calling us as we go into this glory to be trailblazers. Now again, I've shared this in here many times that years ago I was reading Ezekiel 47 about the river of God flowing from the throne of God. It got deeper as time went, right? First the ankles, the knees, the loins, then risen rivers to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And I was reading that years ago when God said, I've called you to be a pioneer of the river of God. And again, pioneering has always been my heart. From a young age, I wanted to pioneer. I had to pioneer that mountain. It was there speaking to me. Go explore me. I had to explore it. My father came to me and my younger brothers had joined the Cub Scouts. And I was too old when they joined. And he says, do you want to join the Boy Scouts? He brought me home an application. And it had on it all these levels of Boy Scout. I don't remember them. That you can go through. And one of them was up there called an explorer. I said, I'll be that one. But he took it back and he says, you can't jump straight to explorer. You got to go through these other levels. Does that sound right? I mean, this is from 50 years ago. They may have changed. I don't know. I want to be an explorer. And he wouldn't check. No, you can't start as an explorer. You got to start as, you know, learn the Boy Scout oath and all these things. I don't want to do all that. I want to explore. So I skipped the Boy Scout and just started my own explorers group. Me. Me and my bologna sandwich and my mayonnaise jar full of water in the paper bag, and we explored the mountain. I don't like to take the same road twice. We found out Michael's the same way. Amen. He has to take different routes. I want to discover new things. I've got to take everything apart to find out how it works. I still do it to this day. Even if something breaks, I've got to take it to find out how it should have worked. And God said, I put that pioneering desire within you. And if you'll allow me, God said, I will lead you into pioneering the river of God in the end times. Under the glory. I said, I'll do it. I did not know this word path in here meant to blaze a trail or to trample down a path. And God's looking for a people in these end times. When I'm talking about this path God has you on, here's the problem. If over here is the glory, how many are we going to the glory? Nobody's ever been here before and stayed other than Jesus. Nobody's ever gone to this level and carry that glory full time. So if over here is where we are now, and we know there's people that have gone beyond where we are, you know, to some level. There's people beyond where I am right now and, you know, all over the world. Anointings and giftings. So if I'm right here right now and God's called me way over here, I finally get to a point, say right about this line. There's a line in the carpet that I wish wasn't. But I don't own the building, so I'm not changing it. There's a line here that we will reach. Now, the glory's over there. But nobody's ever been past this line. Nobody's ever gone past this place in the full-time manifest of glory, especially as the bride. And there comes a time somebody has got to step over this line and go where no man has gone before. Boldly go where no man has gone before on a 5-year mission to explore new worlds. Never mind. Star Trek. That was why that was my favorite show. They were explorers. There comes a time somebody's got to cross this line and go in the Word and in the Spirit and in following God and letting Him change you and confession and everything else to a place nobody's been to go into this glory. In other words, say back here you start, there's a place about up to here, you can read commentaries on how to find how to change this level. You can read other people's books and find out what you got to do to learn faith at this level, or, you know, even inner changes you need to make, books on forgiveness. Then there comes a time you need a mentor that's ahead of you, that's telling you things that's maybe been to this level. But there comes a time that God's calling a whole church group to go beyond where nobody's been before, and you now have to start trampling your own path. And you'll have to trample it because devils will try to stop you all the way, and you'll have to trample their heads. Maybe that's why the scriptures say we trample on serpents and scorpions. Amen? And over all the power of the wicked one, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. There's a trampling required to go into the glory. And you got to be willing to get with your Bible and say, God, teach me. Keep me in church, keep me in divine order, keep me in the Word, keep me in prayer, but teach me the steps I need to take, me personally, to make the interchanges required to go into your glory. Again, Jesus told the religious leaders, the Pharisees, he said, you're focused on trying to change and clean up the outside of the cup. But it's that which is within the cup which defileth a man. Amen. He said, make the inside of the cup clean, and then you can be concerned about the outside. I personally believe to go into the glory, God is going to do an inner work within his bride beyond what any generation has ever known at any time in history past. Trying to think of a good way to put this. When Israel went into the promised land, you remember this? Joshua? God told Israel, he said, you're going to go in and dispossess seven nations stronger and mightier than you. Do we need to turn there for you to read it? Or are we okay with this? You're going to go in and push out these nations. He says, I'm not going to give you the land all at once. Deuteronomy 7 and 8. I'm not going to give you the land all at one time, lest the wild beasts come in and devour all the harvest of the land. In other words, if God just drove all of the enemy, all the Canaanites out, then that land would be overrun with, you know, all types of animals and weeds and everything else. It would have taken all that harvest that they were to walk in and just possess. So God said, I'm going to drive them out as you go in. As you progress into the promised land, I'll drive the enemy out before you. But where you stop progressing, they'll stay entrenched. Do you see this? And I believe, in our case, the enemy we're driving out, I understand there's demonic powers, but it's natural thinking versus kingdom thinking versus faith thinking. We're driving out natural thought processes as we bring in the Word of God into our lives, and it reprograms, rewires how we think and act, allows the Holy Spirit to lead us deeper than any generation ever before. If I had my chalkboard out here, it's right here, I would show you we're progressing, taking this land. Just like God intends for us to take the United States back again. We're progressing, we're dispossessing. Because the glory requires a different mentality than any generation of the past. Because it requires a people walking virtually, fully by the Word of God. There is a dispossessing of an area of thought and reaction and church mentality and kingdom understanding that we have got to overtake with the Word to go into that glory. Did you guys follow that? In other words, there's an area of the word that we've still got to apply that deals with being a glorious church. It's not that God's going to wave his hand and all his drops on us. There will be times we'll receive impartations. But it's going to be a people that God changes by the word and by the spirit. And there's a place, there's a line no man has gone into internal development. They've never gone beyond. That God's drawing us end time church by the spirit of God and by the word of God. So as you allow God to change you radically from the inside out, you're trampling a path potentially no man has gone through before. And what God deals with me on, he'll probably deal with you on differently. Other than there will be common points. Checkpoints on that path would be 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Finally, brethren, add into your faith virtue, and to virtue patience, and to patience, you know the list, right? The stairway to agape. All the way to agape. Those are checkpoints. Go ahead and turn there. Well, Pastor Jack, this is just too hard. Yes, but the rewards. And it's not hard. It's really not hard. It's not hard. I'm not saying you can't have any fun. Are you following me? In fact, I have more fun now than I've ever had in the past. Because I get to win. It's not hard. It just requires mental, how can I say, exercise. And requires setting aside old mindsets and old comfort zones to go into it. 2 Peter chapter 1, have you got it? You know it's hard? You know it's hard? The flu is hard. The flu is hard. I don't like the flu. I don't want the flu anymore. I'm not going to receive the flu. Amen. Broken marriages are hard. Your children serving the devil, that's hard. Bankruptcy is hard. And I'm not trying to, this is not to pick on anybody. You follow me? I'm saying these are hard. What would you rather have, bankruptcy or spend some time reading the Word of God? Some people would choose bankruptcy because reading the words is too hard. I choose God's system of victory. And as a Christian, he's called us to this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or agape love. Now what have we said that glory is? It's concentrated agape, right? It's concentrated charity. So there's no doubt you don't get to the glory without going through love. But here it says you don't go into love without brotherly kindness. You don't go into brotherly kindness without godliness. And we could back all the way through this list. All beginning with faith, adding to your faith. You're not even qualified to go on the course without faith. That you'll trust God to make these changes. I'm not talking about faith. This doesn't even say faith for healing. It's just faith for interchange. And every one of these points, every one of these steps becomes a checkpoint to go into the glory. And which one can God not deal with you on? Hopefully none. But I'm watching people right now that I've known for a long time. I've honored and supported. That would not make some of these shifts, miss out on the path. because there was an area of their heart they would not open up to God and let Him shift. They end up on a tangent, hyperbolic path to nowhere. But God, the Bible says, has better things for us. It just requires that you let God change you. You let Him adjust you. You let Him get a hold of your attitudes. You study your own minefields, your own breakdown points, and you deal with those things. Again, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Well, I just tried and I failed. That's not what this message is about. It's about staying on a track with God. The neat thing about God is you can mess up 100 times. If you keep getting up, He keeps dealing with you in a positive fashion. There's no point that God says, oh, you blew it for the 47th time, I'm done with you. If you'll keep going the right direction. Now, if you get up and say, I blew it for the 47th time, I can't do this, and you quit, now you truncated your own process. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? They wanted a tangible number so they didn't have to do it any longer. Understand, they're being persecuted everywhere they're going. So they want to hear Him say 3. Yes, I'm up to 5. I don't have to do this anymore. I called on fire from heaven. And He said, until 70 times 7. Now that's 490. Is anybody keeping track? How far are you along the way? 490 times. In other words, if you fail at forgiveness, or somebody fails, you know, as far as wronging you, you have to keep activating that same lesson to forgive 490 times. However, the term 70 times 7 has biblical significance. When you read the book of Daniel, talking about the return of the Messiah, it says the heavens will withhold Him for 70 weeks of 7. 70 times 7. Now, we're not going to go into all the biblical teaching of that 490-year period, but the last 7 years of the tribulation. Right now, we're in a suspended time called the period of the Gentiles. But when Jesus told them till 70 times 7, He wasn't meaning 490 years or 490 times. He was meaning until time is done. That was code to mean until the Messiah returns, you keep forgiving. So there is no expiration date on forgiveness in your life. And how many know of all the lessons you learn in walking toward the glory, that may be the number one lesson you have to keep activating time and time again. You know, when you're going through school, you learn math and science and English and, you know, spelling. That's really part of English to me. These different topic areas, right? Art. I'm not going to get sarcastic on that one. To the non-liberal arts degree, art is a waste of time, but we won't go there today. I've gained more appreciation for it every year, though. Somebody's got to paint graffiti on the nice buildings and bridges that the engineers build. And, you know, if you went through school and you took algebra and you didn't take any math past that, you may have never used algebra again the rest of your high school. How many, once you took algebra, never used it again after you finished algebra? Hands going up all over the place. But however, when you were in elementary school, they taught you phonics, grammar. You got, you know, further on to school and they taught you sentence structure. Well, they taught you that in elementary school as well. Did you know you learned to use that the rest of your life? You still use sentence structure today. Hopefully when you write someone, You use some type of sentence structure. You know, you're going to town, you're going like, town going that later. You say, I'm going to town later, not later town go. Unless you're doing text language and everything's up for grabs. The calculator and text language have destroyed a generation of intellects. If you are old, if you are under 40 anymore, I'll just say, I'll give the benefit of 40, chances are you can't do math in your head anymore. Now, some of you can, I understand, but for the most part, the generation has lost those skills because they just punch it in. And nobody knows the difference between two, two, and two, and there, and right? Dumb and Dumber Two. I'm going somewhere with this, I'm sure. There were lessons you learned in school that you still apply today. And forgiveness is one that we never stop using. It's the lesson that you don't like to apply that you keep having to do. People said, I finished algebra. I finished with that C minus, but I'm finished. I'll never do algebra again. I wish we could say that about forgiveness. I forgave that person back in 75. I never have to forgive anybody again. Doesn't work like that. And I'm telling you, God's going to take us in this trampling down path process into areas of forgiveness and blessing, overcoming any type of offense where no generation's ever gone before. But you have to... Here's another key point. You have to be willing to trample your own path. Now, you can follow the path that I and others trample as far as a general direction. You know, I'll get up and I'll teach, hey, God's dealing with us on this. We had a thing a while back, how many is God dealing with deep calling into deep, and every hand went up. We had a whole testimony service out of it. You can follow to some general direction the path maybe some leaders are going, but you don't go unless you have your own internal relationship with God. He can direct you on His daily path for you. And I'm convinced going where we need to go requires increased sensitivity to follow what He's instructing us to do. The closer we get to the glory, the less will be, how can I say this? The more will be required to live without error in following Him. What I'm getting at is, to go to the glory requires you maintain that I call it a prayer life, but I'm just talking about a God-connected life, where during your day you're hearing what He's telling you. Not an audible voice, but a knowing you're doing what He would have you do. You're washing the dishes. God, I know I'm to wash these dishes right now. Mowing the grass. God, I know is what I'm to do. Whatever. You maintain a connection to God. It's amazing. The more you practice being God aware of His will for your life, the more He'll get personal and very, how can I say, detailed in His instructions to you, even to keep you from making mistakes. I mean, you can be, with me, I just use examples for me. I can't think of an actual example, but here's one I'll get. Is I'll be working on a car or working on something, and I'll put my socket up there, and I'll just hear this thing, don't put the socket there, you're going to knock it off. It's going to roll down the driveway. You're going to chase it. And so I'll say, oh, and I'll move the socket where I know it won't bump it. But if I say, well, I ain't got, that's crazy. Next thing I know, there goes the socket rolling down the driveway. Or falling down in the engine, I go to find a magnet to get the socket out or whatever. Or the bolt. Get your hand down on that bolt. Don't pull it out without your finger on the bolt. It'll stay. And there goes the bolt. Does anybody identify at all with what I'm talking about? What's happening? God's teaching you to be very intertwined with His foreknowledge of everything going on in your day. Well, God's nothing involved in our day. He does not care that much about our day. He cares about every aspect of your day. And not that you're sitting there, can I do this, God? Should I wear this tie? Should I, should I put on this underwear? This underwear match okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're aware that if He interrupts what you're doing, you can react. Not that you're paralyzed in immobility because you didn't hear God. To my knowledge, God did not help me pick out my socks this morning. I looked in the door and I saw a pair that matched. I grabbed them. Amen. However, He did help me pick out this tie for Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, right? Well, I saw it and I felt confirmation. Don't get paralyzed because you didn't hear God. Oh, should I put in $10 in the offering or 15? Well, there's a whole thing out there. Preachers say, well, whatever numbers you hear, always put in the bigger amount. That's God. That's not true. There's a lot of people that just are so scared of missing God and giving, they may hear $1,000 and God said, don't put anything in. They'll conjure it up. God is leading us on this path that we're trampling ourselves. And you have to be willing to trample your own path. You stay in divine order. We stay in unison. We don't break rank. We don't run each other through. We make the same checkpoints. But you every day are trampling your own path to where you're going. Each one's going to lead through different giftings, different assignments, different blessings, but all end up at the same glory. And I'm convinced that's what God's doing in this end time church. He's getting personal with us. So many people are focused on God. How big a church should I build? What ministry should I put in place? What churches should I pioneer and birth? And that's all great. But God's looking first to change this on the inside. And if He can change the inside of the cup, everything on the outside of the cup is going to be taken care of. Have you got anything out of this morning? I'm going in. Right now, as a pastor, there's so many things I want to teach. I want to teach the gifts of the Spirit. I'd like to have a series on that. Excuse me. I like to teach on every book of the Bible. I like to teach on the end times and, the tying Daniel to Revelation. And I'd love to have time for all that. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm hearing God every message what I'm to preach. For where we are right now, for the next step we take. And a lot of the stuff that normally we would do in a series, like perhaps the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's been a long time since I've taught a lesson just on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What a great thing to teach. But you know what? It's not what God's told me to teach right now. We mention it all the time. For those moving into the glory in accelerated fashion, there'll be stuff we don't have time to go back and reteach over and over again. You'll have to get a book or a CD. A person that's trampling their own path hears God on what book to read, what message to download, which not to download. And they're bringing into their life outside the church services other messages that will help develop them in accelerated fashion. Is this okay with you? Because we no longer, as an accelerated church going into the glory, have time to teach the same messages over and over again when they're already out there captured. And God's saying, I need you to do some trampling right now. Go into some new stuff right now. And I don't know about you, but in my opinion, God's given us a lot of new stuff to teach. I think there's stuff you've heard in here you've probably not heard at other places before. Well, we're trampling. We're blazing trails. I used to go to a church before I got into revival. It was a Pentecostal church. They had some gifts in operation at times. Guest preacher come in and they'd see some different signs take place. But every Sunday morning was the same message. Every Sunday morning was the same message. We're all sinners, saved by grace. Praise God for His all-powerful blood. Have you sinned this week? Come and get saved again. I mean, there was the same message every week. It might have had a few little changes in it, but it was the same message. And after about 2 years of my wife and I hearing this, we said, we can't do this anymore. In fact, they had a Bible study an hour before service. We would go to that to get some Bible teaching because the sermon was the same thing every week. That's when God connected us to Pastor Callahan. After we left there. We don't have time for the same message every week. We don't have time to teach you all the books of the Bible. We've got to go exactly where God sends us to be precisely on the path He would have us on. And then at home in your time, you've got to do your own trampling. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I ask You to seal it in our hearts. In minds and understand, cause to rise up and be people of the glory. I ask You to reveal to each one here anything they need to do to make the right shifts in our life to go where You'd have us go. Can you put up the confession? Shobro sandabashi. And let not a single one here miss the path. Create an excitement in us for being on the path. Let it be the most exciting, fun, glorious thing we've ever put our hand to, and let not a single one shy away from fear of missing it or it being too hard. We thank You in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and confess our passage out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant me, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that worketh in me, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'm hoping this doesn't become too overwhelming for us. Amen for any of us. But I believe we'll just go day by day. He'll lead us on a path and it'll be doable. Hug some necks, show the love of God.